Today, we are speaking to a renowned ex-army cyber and counter-terrorism specialist, who's also a former FBI fellow and a senior counter-terrorism advisor at the U.S. Department of Defense. That's Mr. Reid Sawyer for you. Good day, Reid.
Good day.
Welcome to Australia, and what a timely visit this is.
Yeah, it really is, with so much going on in the world, and especially on this topic of the cyber risk, it is a very timely visit.
Now, tell me, how bad is the threat of cyber terrorism to the world, and especially to Australia?
So, the threat from cyber terrorism is in its infancy at this point. The merger between terrorists using cyber as a means to conduct attacks, but yet it's something that we're increasingly concerned about, and understanding the vulnerabilities of our critical infrastructure and our buildings, and what terrorists might, how they might be able to leverage cyber means to combine with the physical attack.
So what can be done to counter this kind of cyber terrorism and invasion into the cyberspace?
There's a few things that companies and individuals themselves can do. And the first is, it's really incumbent on us at the organizational, at the business level, to understand where our vulnerabilities lie and how they might be used in a way that we're not thinking of. In other words, it's really about identifying that critical uncertainty.
Sure.
And then imagining what might be possible, and then seeking those ways to remediate it, to prevent it ahead of time,
right.
If that makes sense.
So what are some of the trends in cybercrime? What should an everyday Australian be wary of or careful of?
Yeah, certainly. The identity theft, both from the personally identifiable information and the personal health information, credit card information, all of those at the individual level remain the real constant that the everyday citizen needs to be thinking of when she's engaging in commerce or just even engaging on the internet, right? This really needs to be a focus at the individual level on what we would refer to as cyber hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
And the ways that we're conscious, just like we are that when we leave our house in the morning to go to work, that we lock our front door or that we lock our car in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. That we need to understand as individuals that how we engage on the internet and where we're accessing the internet and what we're willing to share from mm-hmm. a data and a privacy standpoint should be treated the same way as we would treat the security of our children and our families and our possessions.
Do you think, Reid, we are entering an era of totally non-privacy? Nothing remains private these days. What do you feel?
That's a fascinating question to me. We certainly have changed the way that we view privacy. From the standpoint that if 15 years ago I would, if we were having this conversation, I said, you know, somebody's going to be able to, you're going to go on vacation and you're going to rent a room in somebody's house, mm-hmm. or you're going to allow a stranger to sit in your house, or if you travel to another country that you would get in a stranger's car that's not a taxi cab with a service like Uber or Lyft. So the way that we're viewed privacy has really, that norm of privacy has absolutely changed over time. So the way that we're engaging with the world, what concerns me, though, is how much individuals in the search for convenience and everything that brings with it, is are we being smart about the data that we really need to protect?
Tell me, do you think that really the world can be crippled with a few clicks? Do you believe in that?
I don't know that it's with a few clicks, but I do believe, and we saw an example 3.5 weeks ago with the WannaCry virus, of the absolute havoc that wrecked in over 100 countries and 250,000 computers, that we have reached a point of interconnectedness, maybe a better term might even be hyperconnectedness, that this Internet of Things and this world that we're engaging with, there is absolutely a systemic vulnerability that we're facing. So the answer is yes.
Coming to lone wolf attacks, terror attacks, how can one prevent those? How can one be careful about these?
I, I disagree with the label lone wolf for a couple of reasons, if I might take issue, and your question is a very good one. But the way that people are engaging with the ideas and the ideology of a group like ISIS or Al-Qaeda, even if they've never met somebody in the group, just because I haven't been actively recruited by that organization or attended a meeting per se, I'm engaging with their ideas and I'm engaging virtually. And in that sense, it's really not this individual that has this idea to take this upon him or herself to conduct that act of violence. But the problem that we see with, to your question, that we see with lone wolf terrorism or individual terrorism, as we witnessed in London the other day, is soft targets are by definition soft, and the vulnerabilities are almost boundless when we think about our society. So the ability, the way that we protect ourselves is we need to come together as communities, that we need to reach across lines to bring these people together and to understand that, as well as then as organizations and businesses, to then be thinking about what responsibility do we have to protect our own businesses, and then how do we interface with those others that are around us. And in that way, we create this interlocking mesh, if you will, of security.
Sure.
So we all need to own a part of this. But I believe it really, with lone wolf terrorism or these individuals, it really starts with our engagement at the community level and speaking to the other.
Sure. Apart from the global terrorism, how vulnerable do you think Australia is today to a terror attack?
The Australian government and intelligence services are some of the very best in the world at identifying the threats and the mitigation. And we have seen this over the last 15 years, and having been partnered long before 9/11 on these questions of critical importance. So from a position of readiness, Australia stands as good as anybody in the world on this question. The problem, though, is that much like with these other risks that we've been talking about, the problem with terrorism is global, and it is present here in Australia like it is in other countries, even if the numbers on the density of the problem isn't the same. So Australia certainly has reason to be concerned, but you also have some of the very best police and security forces available to deal with this issue.
Thanks so much for your time today, and we've learned a lot from you. In the end, all I can say is let's hope the world is protected from such evil acts of terror.
I certainly agree, and I've greatly enjoyed the conversation. And if I may, thank you so much for such thoughtful questions. I've done a lot of media, and it's always always wonderful when you meet a professional who's got such thoughtful and thought-provoking questions.
Thank you so much. Pleasure talking to you, Reid.
Likewise, my friend.